We're holding on some Chazal Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about, we started learning yesterday that there were psukim, that we know the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat shrotzim, you're not allowed to eat various small creatures, flies, insects, worms, things like that, bugs, things like that, with the exception, of course, of the locusts that we learned about previously. But we were discussing that there are psukim that imply that you are allowed to eat water creatures that don't have the simonim fins and scales if they're in the water. In particular, so far what we talked about is that it's allowed if they're in kalim. So you have a keli of water, and then the water is stagnant in there, and eventually bugs breed in there. Then you would be allowed to drink the water with those bugs in it. And then we said also bodas shichanum oris. We said various kinds of water pits would have the same kind of rule as well, where you'd be allowed to drink from them directly, even though they may have bugs in them. So the Gemara says that so far what we talked about was we had a pasuk that says zet toichlu mikola shavamoyim, the following you can eat from anything in the water, anything that has fins and scales, b'mayim, in the water, b'yamim v'nacholim, in the seas or in the seas or lakes or whatever, and in the streams, those you can eat. And then the pasuk goes on to say anything that doesn't have fins and scales, b'yamim v'nacholim, in the seas or in the streams, then you're not allowed to eat that. So we said, because it says toichlu mikol hashamamoyim, means that therefore you're allowed to drink from boris shichanim aris, from these water pits. And the fact that it says so the implication is because it says by yamam vanacholim, that only when it's in the streams, in the seas or in the streams, then you have to have fins and scales. But if not, okay. So the Gemara says ve'ema b'mayim klal. Why don't we daushin it as a klal of prat or klal? We'd say b'mayim klal, when it says in the water in general, is a klal. That means anything that grows in the water, anything that lives in the water, needs fins and scales. B'yamim v'nacholim prat, when it says in the seas and in the streams would be a prat, only those kinds of bodies of water. And therefore, we wouldn't have a klal of prat or klal. We would have a klal of prat. Ein b'klal ala mashu b'prat. So that would tell us to limit the klal only to the prat. Yamim v'nacholim ein ni'itzim v'charitzim loyim. So then that would only include seas and streams, but it would not include charitzin and itzin. Now charitzin and itzin is another kind of water pits. Rashi learns that the charitzin Rashi and then if we said charitzin and itzin, then all the more so boris shichanim aris. The difference is Rashi learns that charitzin and itzin there's no flowing water in them. So only yamim and cholit have flowing water in them, charitzim and itzim. Charitzim and itzim do not. Charitzim would be that they're long and skinny, and itzim would be that they're shallow. So, the other way around. Charitzim and itzim do have flowing water in them. Unlike bodas shichanim aris, which are stagnant water, charitzim and itzim, these various kinds of shapes, whether they're wound or whether they're squarish and shallow. Either way, they have flowing water in them. So therefore, but maybe we would say that the Torah is telling us that they're still not yamim and nacholim. The fact is, they're still not seas and they're still not streams. So therefore, even creatures without fins and scales would be mutter in those. And all the more so, boris shichanim aris, which are even more dissimilar to yamim and nacholim, in that the water in them is stagnant. Tosfos a little further on learns slightly differently that charitzim and itzim is not, they don't have flowing water in them, and they are in that sense similar to boris shichanim aris, but the sense is in boris shichanim aris, the water is contained within them and stays stagnant, as opposed to charitzim and itzim, it doesn't flow from underground into them, but they do have a channel going out of them for the water to go out. How they get replenished, I guess they get replenished by rainfall. In any case, the idea is, in other words, why don't we learn a klal of prat and say, therefore, that the only kinds of bodies of water in which creatures without fins and scales are also would be yamim and nacholim, but nothing else. And the answer is, b'mayim chos of a kol. Yes, when the pasuk says b'mayim, afterward, when the pasuk says b'mayim, then you have another klal. So you have, in other words, where the pasuk goes, it's zetchay from mikol hashemam moyin, kol hashalos snapper vaskeses b'mayim, b'yamim v'nacholim osim techev. So twice in the pasuk it says b'mayim, and then it says b'yamim v'nacholim. So that second Bamayim makes a klal again, and therefore, so Bamayim calls it a klal. So Bamayim is another klal, and therefore it's a klal of prophet klal, and therefore we can say that we include in Yamim and Necholim not only them themselves, but also other things which are similar to them, specifically Charitzin and Eitzin, which again, according to Rashi, are similar to lakes and rivers in that they actually have a flow into them, and according to Tosfos, at least they're similar in that they have a flow out of them. So, in other words, it actually explains the point of the question was, when we asked about the Klal HaPrat, is why did we need a Pasuk to tell us that Boris, Shechin Ma'oris, are Mutter, and we learned from Tosfos and Kol HaShem Amorim, when instead we could have learned it from this Klal HaPrat. And the answer is, it's not a Klal HaPrat, it's a Klal HaPrat or Klal, and therefore we're not going to include Charitzin and Itzin, and Boris, Shechin Ma'oris, we also wouldn't have known were it not for the Pasuk. Okay, so the question is, the problem with that is that the two klolim are one right after the other. The classic klal, prat, klal is the Torah gives us klal, then it gives us prat, then it gives us another klal. Here you have klal, klal, and prat. And the answer is, Amar Avinu, fine, k'dam rib ma'arava, like they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, kol makom shatam moitzah shnei klolos asmuchim zelazer, whenever you find two klolos, one next to the other, so you have like this b'mayim, and then again b'mayim, and only then you have the prat, then stick the prat that comes afterwards between them, the dunim of klal prat to klal, and you still darshan them as a klal prat to klal. Therefore, so we do have a klal prat to klal over here, but mayim klal, by yamim on a fallen prat, by mayim fuzzle a klal. So klal prat to klal, you have to don elokein a prat. So we know the rule is then that you have to have something which is similar to the prat. Ma prat mafurish, mayim noivim, what is specific about the prat? Is that the water flows after Mayim Noivim, therefore it includes also where the water flows, where there's an inflow according to Rashi, or at least where there's an outflow according to Tosfos. So in other words, it actually explains this is one of those things. So if the pasuk hadn't started by saying as zet tofu mikol hashem amoyim, then actually we would have said that we would include even boris, because after all, then we would say, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, that boris also have in common with yamim and nefilim in that they're in the ground. So then you would argue that the only kinds which would be mutter maybe would be in kavim. But because we have that toichlu to begin with, so now we understand that means that the prat, that we have to limit the prat, so therefore to include, so it's not any water sources in the ground, it's only water holes or water sources that are noivim, that are where the water flows. So therefore that will include chavitzim and eitzim, but not bodas, shichin, and maris. So my rabbi, so again, the taichet out, what are we including? That's what are we including? That's similar to the prat, charitzin and itzin. So we're including the isur. So what are we including? We're including that charitzin and itzin. There's going to be an isur to eat any creatures there that don't have fins and scales. Well, my meat, what are we excluding? Bodas, shichin, maris, taichet. We're excluding bodas, shichin, maris. We're there. The creatures that live in there are mutter to eat. So that would be how we doubt it. So ultimately, then we would say, in other words, you have basically four types of things that you might find bugs in. You have yamim and nefilim. No question, those are also because those don't have fins and scales. And the Torah clearly says that only whatever is by yamim and nefilim, you can't eat. At the other extreme, you have kalim, which are not at all, they're not in any way similar to yamim and nefilim, and therefore those are mutter. Now, in between them, you have Bodas, Shichin, and Ma'oris, and Charitzin, and Itzin, where Bodas, Shichin, and Ma'oris, Charitzin, and Itzin all have this in common. They're all in the ground, unlike Kalim, but the difference is Bodas, Shichin, and Ma'oris have no inflow and no outflow, whereas Charitzin and Itzin have an inflow according to Rashi, or an outflow according to Tosfos. So now, the point is, in other words, on the one hand, we have a klal, a prat, a klal, tells us to add something beyond yamim and nechalim. On the other hand, the word toichlu at the beginning of the pasuk tells us to add something where you are allowed to eat them even though they don't have fins and scales. And therefore, so that will yield this result that bodas, shichin, and maris will be mutter. They'll be in the category of kalim, and charitzin and itzim will be also, and they'll be in the category, they'll be included from the klal, a prat, a klal of yamim and nechalim. But the Gemara says that, the Ema, well, why not learn differently? What do you see in the prat? The yamim and the cholam are both water that has its natural place on the surface of the ground. So then it would include anything in water that's on the ground. And then it would mean that we're including that Bodas Shifanim Aris, the bugs in them are in fact Osir. My Miut Kalim, you would say, fine, there's a Miut in the Pasuk, that means only to be Miut Kalim, and you would say that the bugs in Kalim, that grow in water in Kalim, that in water that are in Kalim, how do you know it's a, how do you know it's not so? In other words, now Rashi explains, that's fine, now the question is, so what, it's very Bodas Shifanim Aris, we're saying, are fairly dissimilar to Yamin and the Falim. But as we discussed before, as we discussed in connection with the Kval HaPrachet Kval, in connection with the Chagavim, in yesterday's daf, as a machloikas in various places in Shas, what when we say there's a klal, a prat, a klal, which klal is a swing one, which one has more of an effect on the result? The first klal, which originally with the original klal we would have included everything, or the last klal, which therefore as a result of it we're only including some things. So the Tana over here holds that the klal at the end is the stronger one, and that means therefore that what are we going to include in the prat? Only things that are similar to the prat in as many ways as possible, even though it's only similar to the prat in one way, then that's good enough to include it in the definition. So therefore, the klal, the prat, the klal over here would result that we say the klal includes everything, all bodies of water. The prat would be specifically yamim and nechalim, and then the klal, if we say that the second klal is the stronger one, then we would say that it comes to include that it's also anything which is remotely resembling Yamim and Nechalim, namely, it would include Charitzin and Eitzim, which are very similar to them in that they're Noivim, and even Boris Shechanim Aris, which are more dissimilar in that they're not Noivim, but on the other hand, they are in the ground. And then the only thing we would be Mamayat is Kalim. The answer is, so they said, then you would say that Boris Shechanim Aris are being included, Le'isoro, my Miat Kalim, and then the only thing would be Mamayat would be Kalim. The answer is you don't need that. In pain, tofu, maya hani, like, because then what we'll be doing with the tofu at the beginning, as we just said before, the fact that the Torah begins, the pasuk, by saying that zeh tofu, mikol hashem amoyim, this you can eat any from anything that's in the water. So that tells us, in other words, that there's a certain klal that anything that's in the water, you're allowed to eat fins and scales or not. So that, and that tofu, we said before, comes to include Bodas Shifanim and Aris. If you were to say a klal of prat of klal, like you were saying, then you wouldn't have, then you wouldn't have any use for the word tofu. Okay. So all of that is one way of learning. So then that comes out. So that comes out then. In short, that of the four types of water of the four types of water that we're talking about, in which there might be bugs or other non thin scaled creatures, then you have two of them. It comes out. It's mutter to drink it with the bugs in them, namely kalim, which are the most dissimilar to yamim and nechalim. And Harit and Bodas Shifanim Aris, the various kinds of water pits, round, square, or covered, which also are not noiv, they're also very dissimilar to Yamim and Nechalim in not being noiv in the water and them doesn't flow. As opposed to the other two kinds, Haritzin and Itzin, which flow, and Yamim and Nechalim, which are natural bodies of water, those, the bugs in them would be also. Okay. The Gemara says, Zveda Bishmal Tomei, and Yeshiva Bishmal, they learned a Braisa that learns different. Now they don't hold of this point that Ravina had quoted before, that when there's a plow and then another plow, then you stick the crack between them and judge it as if it was a plow or crack. Rather, Tonad Veda Bishmal holds. No, when it says Bamayim Shtei Pomim, when it says Bamayim twice without any crack between them, aims a plow of crack of a Rebo Mir. And this is not plow of crack, rather, there's a different mida for the Rebo Mir. The difference being that plow of crack is because we're darshaning it as a crack. And then therefore we need to consider it, we need to define a class of things that are similar to the prat, and fine, you're going to have the question of how similar do they need to be to the prat. As opposed to when we say ribu yumir, Tanashi explains over here at some length, the difference is as follows. Father prat of flow, is the prat is explaining the cloud. So first we say, when there's a cloud of prat, aim the cloud of the mash of the prat. That means we're limiting the cloud only to what's in the prat. We wouldn't even include anything else that's similar. And the reason why you have the cloud there in the first place is only because with the prat, you might otherwise make a binyan out. But then you have another cloud, then fine. It means that you're including things that are similar to the prat, but they still have to be similar to it. As opposed to riba or miyut, you would say the riba includes everything. The miyut just means that you're excluding one thing from it. So So the Miyat, rather the Miyat, not just one thing, the Miyat tells you not everything, but only some things. Then the Ribui, so even without the second Ribui, we would include in the Miyat everything that's similar to it. Then when we have another Ribui, it means we can include things that are even completely dissimilar to it. The only thing we're going to leave out is the one thing that's the least similar to the Miyat. So Tanan Vayir Bishmal holds, because it says a plow and then another plow and then a path, then instead of judging it as a plow, plow's a plow, instead we judge it as Ribu Miyat Ribu, which means therefore that's going to have a more, we're going to include more in it. Before Shem asks why Rabbi Shmuel Tana doesn't include this, we have every day we say in davening Rabbi Shmuel Lamer B'Shleishes Amidus Aturin Adreshes. Why is this not included? So there's a couple of answers. One of them being that it's included sort of in Kala Prata Kala. Another point is that in the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel that we say every day we're only including Midus that everybody agrees to. Whether the chlal we use ribu and miyut ribu is machloikas in a number of places in Shas, not everybody agrees that we do that. Anyway, so Tanan Rebbe Shmuel learns as follows: b'mayim shtei pamim ain ze chlal prat el ribu miyut. So therefore, it's not a chlal prat. Instead, we darshin as a ribu miyut ribu, and therefore b'mayim riba. The first b'mayim is a ribu. B'yamel manacholim. In other words, and the idea is Tanan Rebbe Shmuel would say precisely because it's meant to be darshin as a ribu miyut ribu is why the Torah put it in this order. Had it put it in the regular order. B'mayim, then b'yamim v'necholim, and then b'mayim again. Then yes, we would evaluate it as a follow proper follow, because precisely because they're out of order, then that alerts us to do it instead as a ribu miyut ribu. So b'mayim riba, b'yamim v'necholim miyut. The word b'yamim v'necholim exclude, that we're excluding some things. B'mayim chozer riba, the second b'mayim comes and adds again ribu miyut riba. Riba hakol, therefore, it includes everything except for the one thing that is least similar to the miyut. By Rabbi, Charitzin and Itzin. So now that would be including Charitzin and Itzin, which have this in common with Yamim and Mecholin, namely that the water in them is flowing. So even though it's not like the Yamim and Mecholin themselves, nevertheless, it is flowing. And so at least sort of, those would be also the bugs in them. Oh my neat, Bodhis Shikhan Ma'oris by Tera, and what would be my Bodhis Shikhan Ma'oris that are Mojan. So now with Tanan Rebbe Shmuel comes to the same conclusion as the previous Tanan, he just learns it differently. Instead of learning it as a follow prophet, now instead he learns it as a Reba Miyot Reba. So the Gemara asks, Ema my Reba Bodhis Shichna Ma'oris Lissura, but still maybe you say that it comes to include that Bodhis Shichna Ma'oris also the bugs on it. So, well, my Miyot Kalim, and the only Miyot would be on the Kalim. And the answer is, like we said before, in King Toflu Maya Hanile, then what would we do with the word Toflu? The fact is, the word Toflu at the beginning of the Pasuk is coming to teach us something. So in other words, with a cloud, Rashi explains, with a cloud of Prat to cloud, you wouldn't even have needed the Pasuk Toflu. But the Tanan Rebbe Shmuel also holds that the cloud, that the first cloud is the Iker, meaning, in other words, therefore, that you have the first klal, which includes everything, is the more powerful one, and therefore, so we should have said that we should include everything except for the one thing that's least similar, but again, the Pasuk Tochlu tells us not to do that. The question is the Eibachana, so maybe say the other way around, maybe Bodhis Shichan Ma'oris Ha'Oser and Charitzin and Itzin would be Mutter. So in other words, now why would we say now Rashi explains, in other words, because when you have a klal of prat or klal, you can say that's fine. It means it has to be elokein prat, it has to be similar to the prat, and charitzin and itzin are more similar than bodhis shichan and arts. But here we're not really giving a reason. We're just saying riba hakol, that we're being mired by everything, and we're only being mired to one thing. So if you're only being mired to one thing, why can't it be charitzin and itzin? And so why is there more of a svara of one versus the other? So here the Tosfos asks on Rashi and asks if why would we think that we should flip it around? Why indeed would we think? We said before Charitzin and Itzin are Nozim and Bodhis Shichan Ma'oris or not. Why do we need to look for something else as well? So Tosfos ends up answering that in fact, according to Tanan Rebbe Shmuel, Charitzin and Itzin would be also whether they're Noivim or whether not. In other words, Charitzin and Itzin, normally we say they have an outflow, but they could conceivably not. So now the question is, how would we know that they're not also included in this? So maybe we would say that the Isu includes them, and but it's what would matter the Charitzin and Itzim that do flow. The answer is Kedetani Matisya, as Matisya taught a Braisa that explains this Jerusha, the Tani Matisya by Yehuda, Myra Isa, Rabbis, Burdus, Shikhanam, Orasai Tera, or the Hoytzi Charitzin and Itzim the Isura, why are you telling me that Burdus, Shikhanam, Uba Orus, the bugs in them are mutter? And Charitzin and Itzim, they would be also, the logic is, Marbani, Burdus, Shikhanam, Orus, Shain, Absurdum, Kekalim, because Burdus, Shikhanam, Orus, the water was completely contained within them, like Kalim. So even though they're in the ground, but nevertheless, it is still, the water was always kept in one place. Omotziani, Charitzin and Itzim, Shain, Absurdum, Kekalim, as opposed to Charitzin and Itzim, which are not completely, self-contained like Kalim. They have an inflow into them, or they have an outflow into them, and therefore, therefore there's more logic to say that they should, in fact, be also that those are more similar to Yamim and Lechot. So we have two different ways of Darshaning, which basically come up to the same conclusion, although Tosfos is saying maybe there is a difference that maybe Tanur Rei Rabbi Shmuel is distinguishing within Charitzim and Itzim themselves between ones that flow and ones that don't. Okay. Now, when we started this whole sugya, we started by bringing a brisa that on some of the days that mentioned a mafurish and a san. We started by saying that when it says that the Torah is matter the mafurish, the Torah is matter explicitly certain these creatures in a certain case, and it's matter in a san. And therefore, we would say that both of them, Mephorish and Stam, are referring to Kalim, and then we need other drushes from Boris, Shichin, and Moris. So now that we went through and explained what the deal is with Klal of Prat of Klal, Ribu, Mir, Ribu, so now the Gemara says, Hei Sosim, Behei Mephorish. Of the Psukim that the Braise is referring to, which one is considered the Sosim and which one is considered Mephorish? So the Gemara says, Tzugibar, Rav Acha, Ravina, Rav Acha, Ravina argue on that point. Chad Omar, Yesh loy mafurash, ein loy sosum. Namely like this, you have two psukim back to back. It says that as zet tursum mikolash amoyim. This you can eat from anything in the water. Kolash loy snap of hoskeses, anything that has fins and scales. Amayim bayam manacholim oisem techelu. That you can eat. And then the pasuk continues, v'chol asher ein lo snap v'kasteses, anything that does not have fins and scales, by yamim v'nacholim, in the lakes and in the streams, v'chol asher es amayim, anything that swims in the water, v'chol nefesh chaya asher amayim, any other life forms that are in the water, shepetei machem, then they're repulsive to you. So now, Rav Acha and Ravina argue that, and one of them says that the first pasuk that says those that have fins and scales you can eat, that's called mefodash, that's called the explicit one. And when it says ein lo, when the pasuk says anything that does not have, is sosum is the one so is the one that's the one that's not explicit because it doesn't actually explicitly say that you're allowed to eat non thin and scaled kalim things in the kalim. So in other words, that opinion holds. The first pasuk that says kol asher lo snap of the kaskasas, anything that has fins and scales, the pasuk begins by saying that's that toflo mi kol asher amoyim. This is what you can eat from anything that's in the water. And as we said before, the funny words as that toflo come to include that there are cases where you can eat things without fins and scales. So therefore, according to him, that's considered the mefodesh. And then the second pasuk, which continues, that anything that doesn't have snap of kaskasas, you can't eat. That's sosum. That's not so explicit. Nevertheless, the Braisa had said before that we learn one from the other, that it means that Kalim, that in both cases, Kalim, water and Kalim is mutter with the bugs. But Chadoma, the other one says, between Rav Acha and Ravina, the other way around, Ein loy mefodesh, yesh loy sosum. The second pasuk is considered the mefodesh, the first one is considered the sosum. Well, the Gemara says, my time and demand of Omer, yesh loy mefodesh. Let's understand the logic of the opinion that says that the first pasuk is considered the mefodesh. Omer loch, you tell me, nehu d'panashir kalim. After all, it's from that very pasuk that we said that we learned that water in kalim with the bugs in it is mutter. Because we said before that only because you have the word teichelu, then then they, and that told us before that we're not going to, that we're going to automatically know that that Kalim are excluded, and then possibly, and then Bodas Shichnim Oris, we're not going to use a Klala Prata Klala or Ribu to include them. So from that very pasuk itself is where we see that Kalim are mutter. As opposed to the second pasuk is saying that only kol nefesh achaya sheba moyim, anything that lives in the water, that could include any water in the world, even in kalim. The only reason we say that not is follow prata slot. So therefore, according to that opinion, the first pasuk is considered the mefurish. And so we're saying when that one is telling us almost explicitly that when it's in kalim it's mutter, then we can derive from that the second pasuk as well is not coming to answer kalim to us. Okay, my time in the Manda Omar Ein Loi Mefurish. What about what's the reason of the opinion that says that the second pasuk Ein Loi is considered a Mefurish? And the answer is because he holds the higher the commercial Ha'ayach, because that one is what demonstrates about the first one that being matter bugs in Kaven. The Imeh Ha'ayach, if you only had the first pasuk Avamina, the Kalim Afgav the Islay Lot Nami LeTefil, as we learned on some of the days, without the second pasuk, you might have thought that the first pasuk is telling us on the contrary that you can't eat anything that grows in Kalim, even if it has fins and scales. And as Tosfos said, just mentioned yesterday, then we would say what would we do with the Teichlu in that first pasuk? We would say that. We would say on the contrary, it's mutter only when it's in water bodies that are in the ground, not in caves. So therefore, so you would have thought that you wouldn't have known with the first pasuk alone that it means that it's actually being mocked. Okay, then you would have said on the contrary, it's aser in kalim, and the second pasuk clarifies that and says that it means that the same as mutter, and therefore, according to that opinion, the second pasuk can be considered the mefurish, and the first one can be considered the sasum. Either way, as the Braisa had said, the bottom line is that the Torah is mocked in both of them. That things that grow in kalim are mutter, and it's only when they grow in water bodies, only when they grow in certain water bodies, are they also? So we said yamim and nefalim. It says clearly in the pasuk, chavitzim and itzim. We learn from a flower crop to flower, ribu miyot ribu. But as far as Bodas Shichnim Oris, as far as the stagnant water pits, that was saying that in the end both Tanoim hold that it is in fact mutter. And definitely in Kalim. Now that we went through the background of how we learn these genes, so now let's talk about practical implications that come from them. The Gemara says, a person should not, during the nighttime, filter deer through chips of wood, through chips of wood and sawdust and whatever. And this is what they would do. They didn't filter beer through cloths. The Meiri explains because it would be too thick. The beer that they made in those days was too thick to be filtered through cloths. Instead, what they would do is they would put up a bed of wood chips and things like that, and then they would filter the beer through it. Even nowadays, I think the beer making process sometimes involves that, which is sometimes they have the problem. I think where the chips may come from, for example, barrels that were previously used for Yain Nesach, and you start getting into problems about that. But in any case, the point is, Rav Huna is saying a person should not do that at night. Because you might have, there was a worm or some kind of bug that grew in the beer, that now it ends up not getting filtered through, it ends up above the wood chips, but then afterwards, later on, it falls back into the cup. Now at night, you're not going to see that. At night, you're not going to see that there's this bug in there. So now, when you see it the next morning, so what's going to happen? In other words, everyone is explaining, you're filtering the beer at night. Now a worm at some point leaves the beer and is on top of the wood chips. Then it falls into the cup. You don't realize it by night. And then in the morning, when you come to drink it, you find the bug in it. But you think to yourself, okay, it was in the beer the whole time. It grew in the keli, and therefore it's mutter. But the problem is now it's not, because it wasn't in the beer the whole time. He's going to be over on the fact that he's eating from a creeping thing that swarmed on the ground, meaning now we don't have this heter of kalim anymore because it didn't stay in the kalim the whole time. So Achronim talk about, in other words, that if you were to drink it at night, it wouldn't be such a problem. Because, for one thing, the Dove is a different acronym to talk about. The Dove Shem is Scaven, or because it's, it would be Midaraisa, it would be Botel Beroy, or there's a Sex Faker, et cetera. So therefore, so by night, you wouldn't have a problem. By day, you see a worm in there, and you're gonna think to yourself, this worm was in the beer the whole time, and it wasn't, so Rav Huna is saying you shouldn't do this. So if you wanna ask Yehokim and Monanami, well, in that case then, don't we have the same problem with water or beer or whatever in a cup? You would have the same kind of problem. You never know. Maybe the bug or the worm crawled out of the liquid and was on the inside of the on the inside wall of the container and then fell back in. And that would also be also. And the answer is no, that wouldn't be a problem. That's normal for the worms to do that, and therefore that's not considered that it's pirush, that it left its original place of growth, and therefore it would be mutter. So when you have a cup of water or beer or any other liquid, and you have worms or bugs in it, you don't have to be concerned that at one point they were on the sides of the cavity above the liquid level. But over here, where you're swinging it through, where you're filtering it through these wood chips, then you do have that concern. And the Gemara says, what makes you say that distinction? What makes you say that even if it's on the wall of the keli, it should still be mutter? So the Tanya, because let's go back to a braisa that we learned before on some Chavavim days. Minayim l'davas bodas shichin amaris. We said that how do you know that you're allowed to drink water from bodas shichin amaris? For shoycha v'shoys of the hand, you can bend down and drink from them, even if they have bugs in them. They ain't in them, now you don't have to worry. Therefore, the Pasuk said at the beginning, you can eat from anything that's in the water, as we learned in the Braisa before. Now, you have to ask, fine, you're saying that it's mutter if it can burst shichin amaris because of the klal krat to klal, the ribui that we did before, but nevertheless, the leifosh still don't, we have to be concerned. What if the bug at some point went to the side of the burr, again, above the water level, lahadr nafal, and then it fell back in? So the answer is that no, we're not concerned about that because that's considered its normal pattern of growth. The same thing when it's in a cave, we don't have to work without that. Acronym point out. So how do we know the Braisa to begin with holds that it's that Pirusha that there would be a problem? Maybe the Braisa disagrees with Rabbi Huna's whole premise, and they hold that as long as it grew in the water, then even if right now it's outside the water, it's mutter. So how do you have a proof from there to Rabbi Huna? So they explain Maram Schiff and other Achsan Sofer, Kikoyin Biyona, explain that Rav Huna has two things he wants to prove. Number one, when it comes out of the liquid, then it's osur. But number two, if it goes only to the side, then it's mutter. So now we see, in other words, that because the Braisa is saying shoycha v'shoynim, and we talked about yesterday that there will be shoynim, including the Rosh, we learn that it means you can't pick it up with a keli and do it, because then already the worms are going to be considered that they already left the liquid. So therefore, so we have a proof for that. So Rav Huna shows again that the fact that the Braisa is saying you have to bend down and drink implies, but if you were to take a little keli, it would be also. Then as far as the second din is, that we're saying that it is mutter, and we're not worried that at some point they went to the side, then that proves a second din. So therefore, so in fact, we can prove from the Braisa in two stages that in fact it agrees with Rav Huna's din. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Chista, but Rav Huna Tani de Messiah Lach." So Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, "I have another brayser that supports you." A brayser says, when it says that you're not allowed to eat kol asheretz asheretz al haaretz, you're not allowed to eat any bugs that swarm on the ground. That means the rabbis yavchushin. So the synonym that comes to include if you filtered out yavchushin. Yavchushin are little bugs, midges or something like that, that grow in wine. So if you filter them out, then Rashi describes them, kminya tushin dakan, and so in Martefus Yayin, they're like little gnats or mosquitoes that you find in wine cellars. Some kind of bug also. Now we have to realize in Gemara, in as far as the Gemara is concerned, many of these creatures might even be spontaneously generated in liquid that you have. You leave the liquid long enough, then bugs or worms will spontaneously generate it. And modern science doesn't hold of spontaneous generation, but so one possibility is that in fact, modern science is not necessarily correct, and there can be such cases, even if they haven't observed them yet. The other way of looking at it is fine. There are creatures that lay their eggs in these liquids, and eventually those develop into the next generation of bugs. But since those eggs themselves are microscopic and not visible to the naked eye, therefore halacha doesn't care about them. So either way, in other words, the point is these yavchushin grew their entire life in the wine. So now Rav Chista's Braisa is telling you that if you strain them, then it would be also a sheretz, a sheretz on the earth. So time is a synonym only because you strain them out. all those sinin and shari, implying if you didn't strain them out, then it would be mutter. So it's the same kind of thing because it grew in kalim, and because we don't have to be concerned that at some point it went above the liquid line and then went back in. So the Torah Chaim has a girsa. We are actually we've shown him have a girsa. The Rish from the Rosh have a girsa. The other way around, time of the synonym, only because he strained them. Holy synonym shari. The implication would be that the that if he didn't the Rish and the Rosh don't have that line time of the synonym. Holy synonym shari. The point is, the Rabbis of course into synonym, we see that just if there was filtered, then they're also. So the Torah Chaim explains the point of the Gemara then is that the Braisa just says that if you filtered them is also. So you see from that according to Rav Huna that if it was filtered out, then it's also. In addition, we see that the Chista is also bringing a proof that it applies not only to wine and to beer, but to water and to beer. We see that it also applies to wine. So more dinim on this topic of bugs. So we mentioned sheretz asheretz amar. Let's talk about the dinim of that a little bit. If a pumpkin or a cucumber or whatever, there's different possibilities what a kishus is, if it got wormy while it's still attached to the ground, asura, then you're also to eat the worms in it. Because mishum asheretz asheretz on earth, because that would be an issue of the sheretz that swarms on the ground. In other words, not enough, it doesn't have to be that it's actually on the ground. Once it's moving around inside the fruit, which is still attached to the ground, then it's considered that's walking agave karpel. As opposed to, in other words, if it first developed worms after it was picked, then it would be mutter, because then it's not al ha'aretz anymore. Rashi says, and Tosfos also explains that it would mean it's only a problem if the bug moves around in there. So in fact, Tosfos points out in that connection that you have, there are certain kinds of bugs, there are certain kinds of beans which are sometimes infested with bugs, but the bugs have no room to move around in them. Tosfos gives a number of examples, peas and chickpeas, when you have in them, when you find bugs in them, says Tosfos, it's not a problem, because the worms don't actually move around in them. Tosfos describes that you find inside them, you find a black dot, you look on the outside of it and you find a black dot, you take off the peel, and then you find the bug underneath it. So Tosfos says it wouldn't be sheretz asheretz al aretz, because it didn't actually move around in there. On the other hand, the Ramban holds that it would be also, and then the consensus of later posts is like Rashi and is in fact like Rashi and Tosfos in that, and therefore if you find even a black dot which shows that there's a bug underneath it, then it would in fact be also. But again, only if it developed that worm while it was still attached to the ground. Well, so far we're saying according to Shmuel, only if it was when it was attached to the ground. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, like, can we say that the following din supports what Shmuel says? Can we say that the following brises support what Shmuel says? The Tani Chada, because we have two different brises that address this matter of Sheretz HaSheretz HaLaretz. One brises says, when it says Al HaAretz, when it says on the ground, that means Lahotzias as Zizim Shabad Roshim, then that comes to exclude the Zizim, a type of bug that grows in lentils, versus the Yetushim Shabaklissim, and the gnats that grow in Klissim, which are a type of beans. Rashi defines them as chickpeas. Or the worms that you find in dates or in dried figs. So the Braisa is saying that lahoitzi, when the pasuk says ala aretz, then it comes to include those are not a problem. The Tanya Edoch, then you have another Braisa that phrases it differently. But for Sheretz HaSheretz Al HaOretz, when it says any Sheretz that swarms on the ground, L'Rabbis Telash Shabbat Ikrizesim Shabbat Ikrizesim, that comes to include worms that grow on the roots of olive trees and the roots of grapevines. So now why would you think to eat the ones that are on the roots? So the Gemara says, my lab, I did a pera. On the face of it, both of them are talking about that the worms are found in the fruit. So one, the first brisa, the second brisa is talking about when they're still rooted in the ground. In other words, it doesn't mean that you find the worms on the roots. It means that the worms crawled up from the roots and wound up in the fruit. or at least that they developed in the fruit while it was attached by the roots. For Hoshloi Beber on the first brisa that says that's mutter would be when they developed worms after they were detached from the ground and then were saying that's mutter. So therefore these brises then would support what Shmuel is saying, that when it becomes wormy while still attached to the ground, then the worms are also. And the answer is no, that's not a proof. Ibi Beber, both brises may be talking about where it became wormy in the while attached to the ground. But there's no contradiction. One's talking about the fruit, and the other's talking about indeed that it means that the tree itself developed worms. So then, if one's a map, then it would mean that actually it would be mutter even if it developed worms while attached to the ground, as long as what all the Braise is saying is that if you find worms on the tree itself, then those would be osuti. Those would be considered sheretz asheretz ala aretz. But what's in the fruit would not be included in sheretz asheretz ala aretz. The Shiltus explains the reason, because fruit, after all, is meant to be detached. So therefore, so already you really can't, even though it's still attached to the tree now, you can't consider it sheretz ala aretz, as opposed to the tree as a whole is not generally going to be uprooted from the ground. And the Gemara says dekanami. In fact, you see that the Braisa is not supporting what Shmuel says to Katani, to last should be ikrizesim, should be ikritanim, because it says that the worms that are found in the roots of in the roots of olive trees and in the roots of grapevines, so meaning it was found on the roots or on the tree, shmamina, so that proves it. Now, is the halacha like Shmuel or not? On the one hand, we haven't contradicted him from the Braisa, but on the other hand, we haven't proved his point from the Braisa either. So Tosfos brings several opinions that the halacha is not like Shmuel, and in fact, therefore, it means that even if the fruit became wormy while it was attached to the ground, then it would be mutter. It's only the worms that would be on the tree itself that would be also. So on the other hand, he brings from there, so that's a number of Rishonim, that Rabbi Hanano, or Rabbi Nisano, it says in Tosfos, but on the side, it says over here it's supposed to be Rabbi Hanano, or a different view, so Rabbi Shmuel, anyway, Rabbi Tam, and then Rabbi Nisano, or Rabbi Shmuel, and the Riva, all say the halacha is not like Shmuel, so therefore it would be mutter even if it became wormy while attached to the ground. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from halachas Gdolos, and Shiltas, and Rabbi Goyim, who say that the halacha is in fact like Shmuel. And they prove it from the fact that earlier in the Perek, we had something about that, where we talked about if you have dates that have been left that after they were picked have been left for 12 months and you find bugs in them, then we say the bugs surely developed while it was detached already, because we said bugs don't live more than 12 months, and therefore they're mutter, implying therefore that had it not been for that, we have to be concerned the bugs developed while the fruit was on the tree, and therefore it would be mutter. He was where Tosfos goes on to say then about this point about whether the worms move around or not. But again, there are different opinions on that. I shouldn't say when I said before the consensus of Poskim is that it's also either way. I shouldn't say that actually. The Mechaber actually says that no, when you find, for example, in bugs, again, under the shell, you find a black dot over there, and when you take out the shell, you find worms in there, then it would be mutter because then again, they didn't move around. So on the other hand, he goes on to say, if you find them in the pods, then it would be mutter, then it would be also because then they have room to move around. So on the other hand, though, the Rambam brings in that connection that sometimes you find in a fruit a black dot, which is where the worm is starting to form. Now that would be also like the worm itself, and therefore you would have to remove. Therefore, you'd have to dig that part out deep. So in other words, it would come out then that according to that, then it would mean that we are being machmir when worms grow in it, that it might be that it's growing while it's still attached, and therefore you would have to take it out. You can talk about the Shach explains over there that the Ramah is saying that after all we're saying that if the fruit wasn't ripened yet and then the worm developed in there, then it would be also. So fine, you would say at least maybe it doesn't ask for the rest of the pot of food that you cook it in, but nevertheless, it itself would be ulcer because that's where a worm is starting to form. So in other words, according to that, then we would in fact, in practice, follow Shmuel and say that any time that fruit becomes wormy attached to the ground, the worm would be ulcer, and it's only if it developed after that. Okay. The Gemara says, "Boy, Rav Yosef." So now Rav Yosef has some questions in that regard. Pirsha, what happens if you have a detached fruit which develops worms, and you said according to everybody it's mutter, even Shmuel would be mutter, umesa, and then it died, and then it came out, and it died right away before it had a chance to move anywhere. Mahu, what would be the din? Because in other words, it wasn't shor atzal aretz. It didn't actually swarm on the ground because it didn't have enough time to move before it died. Or maybe you don't need actually shor atzal. Maybe you don't really need that. What about, continues Rabbi Yosef, miktsasamachul? What about if only some of it came out of the fruit and then it died? Would we say that is it considered rubay kekuloi, or some of it is considered like kuloi, or maybe you need okul, maybe you need actually kuloi to be also? And what about, continues Rabbi Yosef, la'avra olam? Mahu. What happens if it came out into the air and didn't yet reach the ground, and then somebody grabs it from there while it's still alive and wants to eat it? Mahu. What would be that? What would be the din there? Since it didn't actually reach the ground, would it be usur or not? And another one, Naki points out, even you could say in the previous cases, let's say you could say, that even if it died, maybe it's mutter because it can't be roichish, but here it could be roichish, it could move around, except that the person grabs it first. So the Gemara says teiku, so it's a teiku on all those cases. So a person's also to eat the bug in that case, but he wouldn't be chayav malchus if he does. Similarly, Bori Rav Ashi, l'gdag t'mora mahu, similarly Rav Ashi says, what about if you have a date with a worm in it, and he said the worm is mutter if it developed in the gate after it was picked, but then it went out onto the roof of the gate, onto the top of it. Is that considered hain revise? Is that considered like the equivalent of the bugs in the water that went above the water line, where we said before, then afterwards when they go back into the water, they're still mutter, or would you say that no? What about, continues Rav Ashi, another case? What about the worm usually starts out in the seed of the fruit? So what happens if now it went to the top of the seed? So if you're going to say, you could argue that when it goes to the top of the date, it's considered like something else. But what about if it goes to the top of the seed, the top of the pit inside it? Would that be considered still like it went on to something else? And another question he asked, mitzmora mahu, and what about if it went from one date to another? So it crawled out of one date and went directly into the other. So would that be considered? In other words, it's one thing. For example, let's say you have water with bugs in it, and you pour it into another container, then it's not considered pirshu, because fine, it went along with the water in it, but here it actually went from one gate to another, so what would be the din? And again, the answer is seiku, so again, the answer is that we don't know, and therefore, again, you can't eat them, but a person will not be five miles for them. Okay. Having talked about bugs in fruits and vegetables, now let's talk about bugs in fish and meat. Amr of Sheish is very generally kukiyoni asiri. Kukiyoni are also. These are worms that you find in the liver and in the lungs of an animal. So earlier in our parak, we learned that if they're in the liver, it's not such a problem, as long as you have enough of the liver remains intact in the appropriate places. And as far as the lungs, we said they tend to stay within the lungs as long as the animal is breathing, because the lungs are expanding in and out, and therefore the worm is scared to move, basically. But then once the animal is shechted, then often the worms will make a hole and come out of the lung. And we said therefore that such holes are not a problem because they tend to be formed only after the animal is shechted. In any case, we're saying those kokioni are those worms themselves are also to be eaten. My time. Well, why is that? My alma also, because they come from someplace. So why are they also? They're not sure that's all right. And the answer is my alma also, because they didn't form in the animal to begin with. They came from someplace in the outside. So the mosque is for Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi says, Imei Alma also, if they came from someplace else, L'shtakhu derech Beisari, you would expect to find them in, you would expect to find them where the animal is going to excrete its waste. You would expect to find them in the animal's digestive system. So here, you're talking about, you find them in the liver, or in the lungs. Why should we assume that they came from the outside? Maybe, in fact, they developed inside the animal. Anyway, according to Rashi, again, we're talking about inside the liver or the lungs of an animal. According to Tosfos, actually, we're talking about these are wounds that we find in fish. So therefore, but the same idea. In other words, we're saying, who says that they come, who says they come from the outside? Maybe, maybe in fact, who says they came from there? Who says they came from the outside? Maybe the animals and the fish swallowed them. Again, if it swallowed them, then you should find it in its digestive system. Tosfos points out a point that the Gemara is going to mention soon, that there's another kind of bug called downim that are in an animal that are actually the Gemara is going to say soon that downy, that bugs that you find under the skin of an animal, is basically they're going to be also as Avram and Achai. So then in that case, Kokioni should be also for the same reason. So why are we saying over here is a separate thing? So that's where Tosfos says then that we're talking about that these are Kokioni are found in fish. But the Tiferes Yaakov gives a different answer, that because animals need to be shechted, so anything that's in the animal can be considered part of the animal. And we're going to have now another opinion in the Gemara that says that the Kokioni are in fact mut. On the other hand, in a fish don't need shlita, and therefore they'd be considered, therefore there's nothing to be marked with them. Okay, so again, so we have one opinion of Rav Sheshes, that a braid of Ravidi, that Kukiyoni are also. Ikadami, but another version, Amun of Shisha braid of Ravidi, Kukiyoni shtorl, that Kukiyoni are in fact mutter. My time, I mean, nay gavli, because in fact they grow from the animal itself, and therefore it's the equivalent of worms that develop in detached food or whatever. Amar Rashi, so Rashi says according to that pshita, wouldn't that be obvious? The Ma'amaka also, if they came from elsewhere, l'shtakhu derech Beisari, then we would expect to find them in the digestive system. I think Rashi says the hilch, so the bottom line, Kukiyoni asiri, the Kukiyoni are in fact also. My time, mainim nayim va'ayulei ba'usia. Because what happens is, when the animal, according to Rashi, so the fish, according to Tosfos, is sleeping, then they get into its nose, and from there they can go into the circulatory system, or into the respiratory system rather, and into the circulatory system, into the lungs and into the liver. So therefore, but that would explain why you don't find them in the digestive system. And that would be why you don't find them in the digestive system, because the animal didn't swallow them, it inhaled them. So okay, they might have grown inside, they might not. But nevertheless, there's still also, at least because of the suffering. So again, Tosfos is saying, we're talking about over here, according to the second version of Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, that they would be mutter because they come from it. We could argue, as the Tiferes Yaakov says, once you shech the animal, then everything in it becomes mutter, as opposed to by fish. You wouldn't say that, so that would explain why Tosfos is saying that it's talking about fish. Tosfos, in fact, refers to the Gemara, one of the famous Rabbi Baba Fana stories in Baba Basra, where he mentions that he saw a gigantic fish where a little creature got into its nose, got into its nostrils, and you have a whole story of what happened after that. So you see, it's common for that kind of thing, for fish in the water to, through their nostrils or their gills or whatever, that bugs come in, and therefore those bugs are going to be awesome. Okay. What about, the Gemara continues, Toloim Downy. What about the downy worms? The bisra seeded kabi shaman. Here, the ones that are found in meat. Different deers that you have, a number of Rishonim have, and you find an older prince is instead of downy is murno. Anyway, the bisra seeded, when you find it in the flesh of an animal, then they're also the kabi shaman, but when you find them in fish, then they're mutter. And in fact, the Gemara says, Amalei Rabina Le'imi, in fact, Rabina would tell his mother, Avla Liva no Echol. You can put some of those worms in the fish. I don't want to see them because I don't want to be disgusted by them, but you can hide them in the fish and then I'll be able to eat them and they will in fact be mutter. And then explains, doesn't literally mean put in new ones. It just means, in other words, don't bother having to clean them out. As long as I don't see them, I'll eat them because you find them between the skin and the flesh of the fish, then it's mutter. So, So we have to explain what's the difference. Why is it different than what we learn in a Braisa? When it said, when the Pasuk says, that you have the non-kosher fish, you're not allowed to eat them, and their dead bodies you should consider disgusting. What's the esnim losam? Lodabas, as had downim, should have a behemoth. It comes to include these downim that are in animals. Okay, the Pasuk is talking about fish, but since it says nevela, then the Malam explains that it includes animals as well. So you're not allowed to eat the downim or the murno, whatever you call them, in animals. So why is it any different with fish? And that's the answer. Ravina tells him, how can you think to compare? Behema b'shchita hu d'mashtaria, an animal becomes mutter with shchita. V'hanu middeloi kamahani lehu shchita. Now, wounds, shchita is not effective for them because, after all, they have a chayus of their own. B'isirayu kaiman, then they continue to have their same issues. This is kind of the opposite of the logic of the Tiferes Yaakov that we said a couple of minutes ago. He argues that, according to the opinion, that the ones that are found in meat would be in the liver or the lungs would be mutter, because when you shech the animal, then those are included as well. If we say they grow inside the animal, but here now. Ravina is explaining that, no, on the contrary, precisely because these creatures have a life of their own, therefore shchita is not matter them. Therefore they retain their ism. Since shchita is not effective for them, you don't shech worms, then therefore they remain also. Rashi points out, what about an unborn animal in the mother's womb? We're going to learn in the next parak, but that's mutter with the mother's shchita. The difference is, That we learn from a special pasuk that says mikol, that says that you're allowed to eat mikol asher, that you're allowed to eat mikol babehema oisa techevim, that what's inside the animal you can eat. So we're going to learn in the next parak. But these worms you don't have that hefty. You don't have the pasuk. It's not including those, and therefore they're going to be also abel dogim. But continues Ravina. But when it comes to fish, after all, you only have to gather them, like we learned before. Fish don't require shchita. You just gather them, and there's no issue of ev menachai, v'hani ki for gavlon, v'heter for gavlon. So therefore, when these worms grow, then they're growing v'heter, just like the fish itself is mutter, and there's only an issue if shoretz ala oretz, only if they swarmed on the ground, which these didn't, because they remained inside the fish. Okay. So yeah, quite a bit of discussion about this. Some years ago they found a type of worms in fish called Anisakis worms, and the question became whether those are going to be also. In the end, in Shulchan Aruch it says that what it is when you find, if you find worms in the digestive system of the fish, then they're also. But if you find them in the flesh or between the skin and the flesh, then they're mutter. The idea being, in other words, because where did it come from in the digestive system of the fish? Like the Gemara said before, it probably swallowed it from the outside. So you have something from Rabbi Cyril Belsky who talks about, therefore, that because of that, so therefore you have, when you're cutting fish, you have to be very careful not to allow the internal organs to touch any of the rest of it. Because there could be worms in the internal organs, which are going to be also, because again, they may have come from fish that the fish that you're cutting up now swallowed, and those would be also, because they came from the outside, as opposed to the ones in the flesh would be mutter, and then they're going to go from one to the other. Then in addition, you also have that, there are in fact different opinions about it part of the question is, what do we say as far as halacha, where these worms come from? Do they spontaneously generate in the fish? Then they can be considered, as we said, part of the fish, or do they actually come from eggs that are laid from the outside, and therefore be the same whether they, and therefore be the same whether the fish swallowed them or not? It wouldn't make a difference in either way, and either way they should be also. So there's quite a lot of discussion between Rabbi Cyril Belsky and other, and Shevet Alevi and other contemporary and neo-contemporary post-skim. So in practice, you actually have then when it comes to these, when you have these fish that have Anisakis worms in them, so there were a lot of contemporary post-skim who answered it, and then there were other post-skim who hold that it's mutter. Rabbi Cyril Belsky being one of them, and then you have another opinion. So in other words, the opinion of Rabbi Cyril Belsky, which is the Star K, and others would say basically that as long as we find it in the flesh or between the skin and the flesh, it's mutter. And the other opinion is that, no, regardless, even whether you find them inside or outside, nowadays that we know that wombs are not spontaneously generated, they come from eggs that were laid in there, that were laid inside the fish, then therefore it should be also regardless. So you have a machlokas apostim on that, and the result is there are different standards of kashrus among the different certifying agencies. To finish off, to round out this discussion of worms and bugs, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, when the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat kol holach al gochin, the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat anything that falls on its belly, the kol holach al arba, anything that goes on four legs, or four pairs of legs, ad kol marbir aglaim, all the way until anything that has many legs, centipedes, so all of those you're not allowed to eat. So let's define those. Holach al gochin, zen nachash. When it says what falls on its belly refers to the snake. Coil, and when it says anything that crawls on its belly, Lodabas Ashilshul, that comes to include earthworms. That's a dome of Ashilshul, and anything that resembles earthworms, so all of them are also. When it continues, Al Arba, that goes on four, the Akra, that refers to a scorpion. A scorpion has four pairs of legs, and then a scorpion has four pairs of legs, so that's what the Pasuk means, Al Arba, you're not allowed to eat scorpions. When it says anything that goes, then that comes to include also beetles, there's a dome of chipushis, and anything that resembles beetles. The beetles have six legs, but nevertheless, they're still included in that category as well. When it says marbe raglayim, when it says anything that has a lot of legs, then nodal, that means a centipede or a millipede. Ad, and when it says ad kol, and when it says all the way until, again, the pasuk says kol el chagochen, v'chol el chagochen, ad kol, ma'abir aglayim, so you have many, many ribuyim, and the pasuk kol el chagochen, kol el chagochen, and ad kol, ma'abir aglayim, that means, lo rabas is a doma, v'es a doma le doma, so it includes also things that are similar to centipedes, and anything that's similar to something else which is similar to centipedes. All of those are awesome. Okay. Now, one more thing in this connection to finish off the parrot, talking to earlier about kosher and not kosher and non-kosher fish. Now we know the Osir Lavi Hashem is going to serve us the Shur Abur and the Leviathan. Now the Shur Abur, a Shur is of course a kosher animal. We talked about yesterday the question of how is it going to be shechted, and Hashem is going to have to give a special psak din that it's mutter even though it was shechted in an unusual way. But what about the Leviathan? What kind of creature is that? So Tanya, Rabbi Yossi ben Dumaskus, and Leviathan dog taru. The Leviathan is a kosher fish. Meaning, what Maharshal says, obviously the Gemara knew, in other words, that's kosher. Obviously, Hashem is not going to serve with something unkosher. But the Gemara wanted the point. Rabbi Yossi ben Dumaskus is saying you should know that it's a fish rather than some other kind of life form. It's not a bird, for example. So the Gemara is going to Rabbi Yossi ben Dumaskus is going to show that it has fins and scales, meaning that it's a fish. On the other hand, there are different other achronim that talk about different other possibilities why Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus has to tell us that. Maybe in fact it was clear that it's a fish, but we see that, again, if we see Hashem is going to have to give a special psak din, that the shur abur is mutter, even though it's shechted by the fins of this fish, which is not usually a proper shita, maybe you could say the same thing. Leviathan is maybe a non-kosher fish. In modern Hebrew, after all, they use Leviathan to mean a whale, which is a non-kosher animal. And therefore Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus tells us, no, it is in fact a kosher fish. Another point is we learned a few days ago. We learned about the Taunagil da'agma and Taunagil da'agma, two different birds, one of which is kosher and one was not. And we brought up the possibility over there that maybe it actually means the males of the species are also and the females are mutter. So the same thing over here. Maybe you could say, look, Leviathan. After all, Hashem, we know Hashem killed the female and salted her with. So they can also love it. So maybe you could say conceivably that the only the female is kosher and the male is not. So therefore, Rabbi Yisrael ben Damascus wants you to know that no, both of them are the same or are in fact kosher. Anyway, so the Leviathan dug tohu. You should know the Leviathan is a kosher fish. The Oruch mentions another point as well, why Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus need to tell us that. We find in some places in the Torah where it speaks of the Leviathan in the same breath as a snake. It calls it Leviathan Nochash Bariach, Leviathan the straight snake. Snakes are not kosher, as we just said, so you would think Leviathan is not either. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus wants you to know that no, it is kosher. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, in Iyov, at the end of Iyov, when Hashem is telling Eve about the great, tremendous things that he created in the world, and Eve, you can't possibly understand how Hashem runs the world, so he has a long description of Leviathan over there, and one pasuk, he says, Gava Afikim Maginim. The pasuk says he's proud of his strong protectors. So as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, that refers to its scales. And another pasuk says, Tact of Hadudei Chores. Another pasuk says underneath it are sharp shards of earthenware. So afikim maginim elu kaskasim shaloi. So the words afikim maginim refer to the scales that protect it. So it's proud of its scales, which are afikim maginim. They're closed and they're closed very tightly. In fact, the pasuk continues over there after afikim maginim. It continues sogru choisam tsar. They're closed with a tight seal. So like the scales, which are tightly attached to and overlapping on the fish's skin, on the Leviathan skin. So therefore that refers to the scales in it. When the other pasuk taf of chadudei chores underneath it are sharp shards of earthenware, evus napir and shaparech behen, that refers to the fins with which it swims through the water. They cut through the water like shards of earthenware. It cuts through. Rashi explains so that he can go as fast as possible. Rashi does bring an explanation from his Rebbe that chadudei chores, the simple meaning, means rays of light from the sun. Chores is sometimes a poetic word for the sun. Rashi on the pasuk also explains it that way, but here the Gemara is explaining chadudei chores means sharp fins that cut through the water. So therefore we see it has fins and it has scales, and therefore that marks the Leviathan as a kosher fish. And so we know that therefore when Hashem serves us, La'asid Lavi, Leviathan and the Shurabur, then both of them are completely kosher species, and the only thing we need is, in order to tell us that the Shurabur should be mutter, for that we need Torah Chadashim Iti Teitzei, a special new dimension of Torah that Hashem is going to reveal to us at that time. Hadron Allah Eilu Treifus.